It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you on a Tuesday afternoon. Johnny Hill producing as always. We're with you for the next 3 hours to get you through the afternoon. A lot to get to today. Obviously, continued talk on the NCAA tournament with the Sweet 16 games set to tip off on Thursday, but also a lot of news coming out of the NFL as yesterday and today we've got rule changes that have come out for this upcoming season. So a lot to get to today. We'll also, with all the NFL news, it's a great all this happening on a Tuesday. We'll talk to Beau Marchant later in the show, and he'll definitely be able to give us a lot more information on these rule changes, what he thinks of them, and all of that. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well, and there's really pretty newsy NFL day as we start the real downhill slide to the draft, and then after that it'll be a little bit of a quiet period for the NFL. Got the Pro Football Hall of Fame teams announced today.
Right.
We'll be looking forward to that on that first Thursday night of August, and that's a very early date. I want to say that's like August 4th. August 1st. August
Holy
1st.
Cow. Wow.
Yeah. That is really early, so we can kind of use that as our football countdown number, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you strap the pads on and get out there, you know.
But we got football in Memphis Sunday on the road. We got Memphis.
Sure.
We got Memphis Showboats home football coming up Saturday the 6th, so we look forward to that. NFL, they never cease to amaze me. They they know they just can block out the sun.
Oh, absolutely.
And with a Monday Christmas last year, I thought, well, sure, you know, naturally, year before last on Sunday.
Yep.
But, you know, we jumped 2 days ahead this year with the leap day so that we avoid Tuesday and we go to Wednesday. And I thought, you know, not even the NFL will be so brassy as to put games on Wednesday. Oh, yeah, they will.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to have two, and Wednesday is a real odd day for them to play. Remember during COVID, it was on the fly. I can't remember the teams. For some reason, I don't think the Giants. Anyway, they had to play a game on Wednesday, and that was the first.
I do remember that.
And that was the first NFL game on a Wednesday, like since 1948 or 49.
Yep.
Just remarkable to be playing on that day.
Yeah, that was one of the one of the teams couldn't go because of all the COVID, and so they were like, "Well, we got to get
outbreak.
This game in," and so. They played on Wednesday. You're absolutely right. But no, it's going to be very weird. Doubleheader on Christmas Day. But I mean, it's going to be, that week's going to be a lot of NFL because, you know, you're going to probably have games on that Saturday, Sunday, and then that Monday you'll have a game, I'm sure, Wednesday, and then, you know, who knows about Thursday. I'm sure you will still have a game on Thursday.
Oh,
and
you
then
know
back
they
to,
will.
Back to Sunday. So, I mean, it really, you really could be talking about that week out of the 7 days. I guess 8 days, I mean, you're talking...
5 days. Five games.
Five out of those days? I mean, that's incredible.
Everything but Christmas Eve, the 24th.
Yeah.
We know that's always the Hawaii Bowl.
Absolutely.
The Aloha Bowl. Is it Hawaii or Aloha Bowl? I don't even know.
It's Hawaii Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it stands alone.
That's right.
It saves us all dying for something. And even by that point, I've had enough Bing Crosby. but to play on Christmas Day, yeah, they'll have that game Thursday. And that was, you know, that was the NBA's day. That was the NBA's really kind of launch for a lot of more casual than us fans.
Yep.
That's the first day that a lot of people kind of peeked in at the NBA.
Sure.
And those numbers last year were overwhelming. Mm-hmm. They will be this year. I wonder the two games. Don't you think they'll go afternoon, 3-ish, night-ish, 7-ish?
Yeah, you gotta imagine. I mean, I don't think there's any point of doing the, you know, noon game or something. You know, sometimes they'll go 11:30. If you're not going to do a triple header, there's no point in doing that. You would definitely want to have back-to-back games.
Yeah.
No space in between. So I think they would go mid-afternoon and then a night game.
So the NBA can really carve out, you know, all right, and, you know, it's usually, what, 5 or 6 games that day.
Yeah.
So an 11 o'clock game, a 1:30 game, that would get big sure. viewing numbers. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, in the same time zone that we live in, the central time zone, and East Coast, that's a lot of lunch and mm-hmm. package and going to grandma's time of day.
Yeah.
I understand that, but that, NBA is already playing at those times, and maybe the NBA moved the more feature teams to those times. Lakers, Celtics, yeah. Warriors, well, usually Warriors
sure.
the last few years. The NBA champ, whoever that may be, you know, that might be prime for Denver in that 1:30 time slot. That, what is that, 12:30 Denver time?
Yes.
Something like that. You know, it could be something like that. And I hope one of these days, yeah. not only that we've played, but we host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm definitely with you. And, you know, I think, you know, the NBA, as much as, you know, this kind of hurts for them, you know, a couple years now in a row of this, but, you know, I think they'll figure out a way to make it work. Like you said, that 11 o'clock game, if they do the mid-afternoon and then night game, they'll have that, maybe, you know, do like a 1:30 game as well. And then, you know, you'll have a 9:30 game. By that point, the NBA, the NFL game will be wrapping up. So, you know, they'll be able to make it work, I think. But no, NFL and Christmas Day, they saw the success there, and I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon.
Nothing stops them, and it's just so clearly number one in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
It's nobody even argues with it. No. And in COVID that year, I think that was the one and only time in NFL history that they had games every day of the week.
Wow.
Monday through Sunday.
I think you're right, yeah.
Because, you know, it just so much was on the fly that during those times mm-hmm. trying to get it in. The 26th, which will be this year on a Thursday, mm-hmm. that may be two or three different bowl games trying at
sure.
that time.
Yeah.
Noon, three, mm-hmm. nighttime.
Yeah.
Might avoid nighttime against the NFL.
Might. But, I mean, then you're really, I mean, once you start trying to schedule bowl games around the NFL when we've kind of got this Wild West for the NFL now, I mean, it's going to, you're kind of getting slim then.
And the TV, college football TV schedule and the bowl schedule won't come out to NFL releases yeah. their schedule in early May.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll follow suit and we'll see the games. And it's going to be fun to watch times for them.
Yeah.
With some of those, you know, the better games incorporated into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then next year, we'll have 14 teams and maybe even more bowls incorporated into it. It will make, for the Liberty Bowl, I think we've seen the end of New Year's Eve Liberty Bowls
yeah.
because that's going to be something around the playoffs mm-hmm. always.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta think.
And you know, they don't want near like the Thursday the 26th. You know it won't be Sunday the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this would be too bad though. If you had that afternoon, that 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock game that led into Monday Night Football countdown on Monday the 30th.
I don't hate that idea at all.
And I think all day the 31st and the 1st is out.
Yeah.
There's never been a Liberty Bowl game played on the December 24th, 25th, or 26th.
Wow.
Every date, 27th on through December, a couple times on the 2nd of January. And, you know, in way back when it first started, it was usually kind of second weekend of December that was, you know, 12th or 13th or 14th. Then it kind of kept getting moved back. And then mm-hmm. for the lion's share of the 70s, it fell in as the 15th Monday Night Football
yeah.
game.
Yeah. I like that idea of kind of a mid-afternoon, early afternoon kickoff, kind of go right into Monday Night Football on ESPN. I really like that idea. I mean, that could really work.
Now, the bowl honchos, they don't decide it. TV,
right.
TV tells you, here's
sure.
your kickoff time.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I mean, but if I'm...
And you dang well better like it.
Sure. And if I'm ESPN, I mean, I don't think I would mind that at all. I mean, you look at the ratings that the Liberty Bowl's gotten the last couple of years, they've been pretty good. And, you know, I think football certainly sells. And when you can go from one bowl game in the afternoon and just keep everybody there, bring more people in, and right into that NFL game, I think that's a great idea.
lot of news out there around the draft. There's a lot of, yesterday we didn't get to it. I have no problem with what Deion Sanders said about his son and his really good two-way player at Colorado. Now you got to pull it off, because I remember when Caleb Williams was talking, I'm going to dictate where I go, and not so much. What I would love to know, and we'll talk about this with Bo. Mm-hmm. I would love to know from Coach Prime, what are the places you don't want to go to? Because the Mannings made it clear we're not playing for San Diego and John Butler.
Sure.
The GM.
Yeah.
And they had the stroke to it, whether you liked it or not. And I mostly don't like it. Mm-hmm. Didn't like it when J.D. Drew manipulated the draft. Who else did it in baseball that I didn't like? But if you got the power, you know, your power is not worth anything if you don't use it.
That's a very true statement. And, I mean, it looks like, you know, Deion can find a way to use it. I'm sure he'll probably use it.
Sure.
And, you know, one thing you can say about Deion is, he's very much to his word. When he says something, he certainly believes it and means it. And, so I would not be surprised at all if that becomes more of a real idea.
Well, he is, and you've never had one teammate, baseball or football, mm-mm, say he wasn't a great teammate.
Yeah, not at
they all.
All
rave about him. Mm-hmm. You know, so he knows the inner workings of the NFL at least as well as Manning Incorporated does.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, great NFL career.
I think we did the list.
We did.
I think he was my first or second defensive player on the greatest players ever.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got a hold for it. I mean, he knows what it's all about.
You know, so if Archie and Peyton and Eli can do it, if they got the stroke,
why not?
Can do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would not be surprised at all.
Now, Shedeur better go out and have a big year.
Shedeur definitely has to have a big year.
And that's more than four wins.
Uh-huh. You know, you're absolutely right. I think
But behind that offensive line, that was like 10 wins.
Yes. No, that offensive line was Shedeur was literally running for his life. And I understand dual threat quarterback, he likes to get out of the pocket, but he was running for his life on every single play, it felt like.
Brian, it might have been that Colorado State game. It was late at night, been a long day. I got in, I'm about half punchy, and I'm watching that game, and I literally thought, couldn't the offensive lineman at least be nice enough to turn around and yell, Shedeur, run for your life, we're not blocking a soul.
Yeah, they're coming.
They're on the way.
Yeah.
Here they come.
It was that. I think it was that Colorado State game, because I'm pretty sure
he didn't have a prayer.
No, and I remember that game. I was at a buddy's house. It was me and a bunch of guys over there, and one of our friends doesn't watch a ton of college football. He's more of an NFL guy, and more of a friend of a friend. And he's sitting next to me, and he's like, "Man, does the offensive line ever try to block?" And I like, "Yes, just not this team's offensive line. It's just different." You know?
And at some point, you know, everything's going to be RPO or just straight quarterback draw.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got to. I mean, what else are you going to do? You can't sit back there. I mean, it was bad. And so he certainly made it a priority in the offseason.
And his dad, in his salesmanship, I'm not knocking this either, because you got to sell your program.
Sure.
But in his salesmanship, in his bravado, he's made Colorado a circle game for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's kind of the person who Deion is. And, you know, you're right. I mean, I remember going back to that Colorado State game, and I understand that is a rivalry game, and both teams have that circled before anything else. But, woo, I mean, bulletin board material all over the place on both sides.
I mean, they just had it.
It was. I mean, it was crazy. But then, I mean, you go.
It was bulletin board and carpeting. They had it everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, from the floor to the ceiling, it was all over the place. But, I mean, that's Colorado with every team. I mean, you have both College Game Day and Big Noon Kickoff come to all your first three games for Big Noon Kickoff. Game Day was there at the same time for a
with
game.
Record numbers.
Yes, I mean, you know that you are the center of college football, and that is going to bring a target on your back, and everyone's going to know, when we go to Colorado, we want to beat Colorado. And so it's not going to be easy for them. But you're right. They hopefully under year two, I think you're going to see those improvements from the stars we saw last year. But definitely got to get an offensive line in there to protect them.
I'll tell you now, the Liberty Bowl matchup I want is Colorado versus Arkansas.
Man. Here we go again with reminding me that all these conferences are going to be completely out of whack, and I'm going to have to go.
That's Big 12.
Brett, you were telling me yesterday that you were studying the baseball managers for this season because we've got new managers all over the place.
Oh man,
I'm going to have to sit down and study the conferences. And let me remember this team is here now.
And I love to do it. I have had to really work and study baseball getting ready for this year.
It's crazy. And honestly, I think I forgot about just the amount of moves that were made by managers this past offseason. And yesterday we were talking and you were throwing some teams at me and I was like, I remember who their manager was last year, but I don't know if he's still there or not.
Then get to everybody's third pitcher.
Oh, geez.
And then the fifth pitcher. Oh, my Lord.
It's gonna take me some time to relearn all of these teams.
Cardinals, all everybody's on the injured reserve. What a great way to start the year.
I mean, and now Victor Scott going to be the starting center fielder, which I think he's going to be a fine player, but I don't know just yet. I mean,
I think his defense will be fine.
Yes, I do too. But that was the big news today, and. It feels like deja vu. Last year felt like we were coming in and. Outfielders on the IL, pitchers on the IL to start the season.
But today and tomorrow is the last 2 days I can complain about baseball. Starting with opening day, I start my annual resolution to not complain about the sport. What did I make it to last year?
You made it pretty far last year. I don't remember the exact
date. June 5th?
You did. Johnny, this is news to you. Brett, as much as he loves baseball, he
complains about it more than anyone.
Complains about everything. Out of love. Absolutely out of love. Hates the commissioner.
Okay.
But who doesn't?
I see a lot of hate
for him. And so last year... we tried really hard to get Brett to go as long as he could without complaining about anything.
Come on, Mr. Baseball guy, why do you complain so much?
And
that's what they said.
Last year was tough because the new bases, ghost runners.
It was
a lot
of new stuff last year.
How we do extra innings.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. And I'll give Brett
credit. It looks like church league softball.
Well, yes. Again, Brett, get all out.
Because didn't the bases get bigger,
sure
too?
Oh, yeah. Big old pizza boxes.
He said pizza boxes.
We're going to see how far Brett can get this year without complaining.
About June 5th last year.
June 5th. We'll write down June 5th as the date for last year. We'll see if you can
that,
get
that reminds
a
me
further.
Of a great story. Curtis Strange, who won back-to-back U.S. Opens, two-time major winner, great player, and great Ryder Cup player. Mm-hmm. But the story goes that he just had the worst mouth on the golf course ever. I mean, could hit one 285 down the center of the fairway and cuss about it. So one year for his New Year's resolution, his wife said, seriously, we got little kids, people look up to you, could you please, he said, I'll quit cussing on the golf course. So somebody asked him how long he made it, he goes, I didn't make it but to like January 13th. They said, that's not bad. He goes, yeah, but that was the first time I'd played all year.
Oh, man. Well, I always say New Year's resolutions are made to be broken. So
That's right.
It's how it goes. But we'll see how far you can get this year. I've got high hopes. Year two of all these new rule changes. So I've got faith in you, Brett. Well, let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, Pat Smith from Jocks down in Birmingham. He'll join us. We'll talk about Alabama. They're in the Sweet 16. They'll play later this week. We'll talk about Auburn's early exit. A lot to get to with Pat. Also, we'll check in on spring ball down at Alabama with the new
and the Nick Saban retirement stories.
Yeah, how about that? A lot
going to CVS and picking up his own prescription. Those people almost fainted when he walked in.
Wow, it's almost like he forgot who he is and just thinks he can go be average Joe out there. So a lot to get to with Pat in our next segment. 3:45. We'll talk Grizzlies. They were in action last night against Denver. They'll return home tomorrow night against the Los Angeles Lakers. 4:00. Brent Beard from First Coast News in Jacksonville will join us, talk a lot of college football with him, but also talk a little college basketball as well with a couple of SEC teams in the Sweet 16. All four of the ACC teams that were in the first round, so not counting Virginia, that was kind of the embarrassment of the first four, they're all in the Sweet 16, so a lot to get to with Brent at 4:00. 4:30, talk a lot more about the NCAA tournament, some college basketball news, as we're only a couple days away from Sweet 16 action. 4:45, we get to big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Bo Marchant will join us, talk the NFL with all the news, rule changes, everything, draft right around the corner. We'll talk a ton of NFL with Bo. 5:30, we'll get to what's trending. 5:45, wrap up today's show like we always do with Taco Bell Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios where family and fun come together. Factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, and patio furniture now at Family Leisure. It's patio season. Come by Family Leisure and check out the new 2024 patio furniture sets. Pool season will be here before we know it. Buy now and get in line for your pool installation and get pre-season pricing. Save $1,000 to $5,000 on all spas and swim spas. Also, special pricing on all in-stock saunas, theater seating, pool tables, and outdoor kitchens. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
Produced by Johnny Hill, this is Sports Time. We're with you until 6, and as Bryant just said, as always, from our Family Leisure Studios, you can reach us at 901-360-8255. Text or call on the Sissy's Law Cabin text call, and all our guests will join us at that number on the Sissy's Law Cabin guest line. This hour of our show brought to you by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2024 models and always special leasing options. Call them at 901-334-9673. But better yet, stop by the one and only Lexus dealership in town and visit with them at 2600 Ridgeway. That's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2024 flagship LS500. You'll be looking and you'll be driving in style. Drive in luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. When you purchase Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the luxury driving experience. Online at LexusOfMemphis.com. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it's got to be all of the NFL news coming out with these rule changes. The hip drop tackle, they addressed that yesterday. It is now going to become a penalty. If it's not caught during the game, they can go back after the game and assess it. So definitely something to keep an eye on for these defensive players going into this season. The big one today, though, the NFL is moving to the XFL kickoff model. 29 of the 32 owners voted in favor of this change. The hope is that it will add excitement and safety to the game, with last year only 22% of kickoffs being returned. This was a quote on kind of how this will look for people that might not be used to the XFL kickoff model. This is from an article in The Athletic. The modification calls for all players on the kicking team to line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line, while the receiving team lines up 9 players on its own 35. 2 men will line up downfield as returners. The kicker will still kick the ball off from their own 35-yard line. The kickoff team defenders won't be permitted to move until the ball lands on the ground in the landing zone inside the receiving team's 20-yard line. If the ball lands short of the landing zone, the ball would be moved to the receiving team's 40-yard line just as if it sailed out of bounds. Touchbacks would call for the ball to be moved up to the 30-yard line. One of the big drawbacks that I've heard a lot of people talk about, and this a couple articles I was reading earlier today addressed with onside kicks. Now the surprise of onside kicks will be completely eliminated because teams will have to go and acknowledge, tell the officials, we are going to do an onside kick, and then they would line up for a regular kickoff. Obviously, both teams would then know that an onside kick is coming. So it's going to be interesting. I know since this was announced, college football has said that they are going to keep an eye on this. They're going to be studying it, and we can maybe see that move made in college football as well. But Brett, you also mentioned earlier that we've got Christmas Day game for the NFL, a doubleheader now, and it's interesting. A Wednesday game, but this means, I just saw this tweet, nearly every day from December 20th to New Year's Day will either feature a college football playoff game, an NFL game, or both. December 20th, we'll get a college football playoff game. December 21st, 3 college football playoff games and an NFL game. 22nd, an NFL game. 23rd, NFL. 25th, Christmas doubleheader. 26th, Thursday night football.
More.
28th, more. NFL.
28th, more.
NFL. Thursday, or the 30th, Monday night football. 31st, one college football quarterfinal game. And then January 1st, three college football playoff quarterfinals. So it's going to be very busy for postseason college football. That's not even including bowl games and stuff like that before the 20th. So it's going to be December. It just gets busier for football.
Makes it official. I will either be eating or watching football or both for about 11 straight days.
Pretty much every day in December, either eating or watching college football or the NFL, I guess, just football in general.
My top story, this is Rick Barnes's moment. All the wins, all the stops, all the NCAA tournament heartbreak. He must beat Creighton. I'm not saying win it all. I'm not saying get to the Final Four after maybe a Purdue game. Just you got to beat Creighton. This is the one. Tennessee's been to one Elite Eight ever. He can match that. It was easy for Tennessee in the first round. Then it was really wobbly and nervy in that win over Rodney Terry in Texas. There weren't a lot of other teams Tennessee would have beat that day that they beat Texas. Now in the tournament they face Doug McDermott and Creighton. They're playing pressure free, I think, but it's must win for Tennessee to quieten the Rick Barnes critics.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, this is just me being selfish, using this to get out my frustration, but Dylan Carlson to be placed on the IL to start the season. I mean, I said it earlier, it feels like deja vu, it feels like Groundhog Day for Cardinals fans. Seems like this is how the season started last year, with a bunch of guys on the IL, and it seemingly never got much better. And Dylan Carlson, as much as, yeah, I'm sure great guy, he's a fine player when he's playing, but it's almost been promised of, this guy's the future, he's going to be the premier outfielder, and it seems...
Wouldn't deal for Soto over him!
Exactly, and really, unfortunately, seems like Dylan Carlson...
I'm sorry I raised my voice.
It's okay, hey, you got a couple days before we can't do that anymore when baseball season starts. But Dylan Carlson has battled a ton of injuries over these last couple of years. It really feels like most of the Cardinal outfielders have battled injuries over the last couple of seasons. But now Victor Scott, the second, will start in center field opening day for the Cardinals. A 2022 fifth-round selection who has become one of the top prospects in the organization.
Counted on.
Over the past couple seasons, and will be counted on. I mean, in the spring training, he's looked good. He's batted .333 and has stolen four bases. He's got a lot of speed defensively. A really good player, I think, defensively. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I think he'll be fine in
It'll
center
just
field.
Be June before we see it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a while until we see. I think until we see
June,
the,
July,
the
August.
Regular off
be buried in the standings,
guys.
By the
right.
end.
Yeah, that feels like how it's gonna go.
I don't have a prayer on my resolution, do I?
No, you don't.
I'm gonna break Curtis Strange's record. Make Hush too.
Well, we don't want that.
My top story: Bama 4.5-point underdog to North Carolina at Crypto.com on Thursday night in Los Angeles for Bama to pull the upset, and I think it would be their biggest win in program history. They've only been to one Elite Eight ever, and that would get them to their second Elite Eight. They got a bomb from threes. We know that. The over and under is 175. For Bama to win, the game's got to go over. They're not winning 60-59.
No, they are definitely not. Well, I'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's go ahead and get to our first break. And when we come back, we're heading down to Birmingham to talk to Pat Smith from Jocks.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and joining us now from Jocks down in Birmingham, Pat Smith joins us now on the Sissy's Log Cabin phone line. Pat, thanks so much for joining us. A lot to get to, but I do want to start off with Alabama's basketball team in the Sweet 16. They'll take on North Carolina Thursday night in that Sweet 16 matchup. What have you made of this run this season for Alabama now getting all the way to the Sweet 16?
Well, you know, up until about the first I'd say the first month or so of SEC play, I think everybody was pretty excited, thinking that this could be a team that could only make the second appearance all time of getting to the Elite Eight. But the last month of the season, they kind of had some shooting woes. They weren't shooting the ball very good from the outside. A couple of nicks and bruises put some guys on the bench. Their bench got exposed a little bit. So they kind of limped in the SEC postseason play, but the committee did them a really big favor, putting them in the bracket that they put them in, the two opponents that they had to get to the Sweet 16. I'm not trying to discount what they've done so far in the tournament, but obviously playing North Carolina on Thursday night will kind of be the proof in the pudding on this basketball team. But still a lot of excitement, because based on what happened to Auburn on Friday against Yale, an unscholarship basketball team, that has a lot of people kind of scratching their heads, but Alabama fans are pretty happy to keep playing.
Pat, good afternoon. Is us having you on, is it violating some college football code of our own ethics? Are we allowed to talk college basketball with you? Is that okay?
Only 7% of the interview must be college basketball. The rest
gotcha. Okay.
Be Alabama football. Yes,
I got you. Okay, like odd even gas rationing in the 70s in California, right?
Yes, absolutely.
We'll try to stick to that. It is a good story for Alabama. I'm going to give you a blind resume, and you tell me which school is which.
Okay.
11 Sweet 16s, 1 Elite 8, no Final Fours, no national runner-up, no championships. 10 Sweet 16s, 1 Elite 8, no Final Fours, no runner-up, no national championships. Who's the one with 11? Who's the one with 10?
The one with 11 is Alabama. Am I correct?
You are correct, and the one with 10 is Tennessee.
Wow.
It's Tennessee, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, the Alabama one, that is, you know, even back when Whip Sanderson had that thing rolling in Tuscaloosa, they never could get over the hump. I mean, of all people, it wasn't Sam Newton that got them to the Elite Eight. It wasn't Whip Sanderson that got them to the Elite Eight.
It wasn't
Nate Oates to get them to the Elite Eight. It was Mark Godfrey.
It was Mark Godfrey. Wasn't even David Ollins. That's right.
Yeah. It was him that got him there. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at this is the first time in consecutive season since 1990 and 91, Brett, that Alabama has made the Sweet 16. But, you know, they just do not have a very good record. They are 1-9 all-time in Sweet 16 games. So, Alabama, they're going to have their work cut out for them. Listen, I mean, North Carolina is one of the best teams in the country. And that's apparent by watching them and obviously the respect they got from a seeding. Alabama's going to have their hands full. And if Alabama doesn't shoot 35% from outside the three-point arc, it is going to be a long night in Los Angeles.
One of the biggest misnomers out there is that Bama has kind of dismissed basketball. Okay, they got an older building. I understand that. But I wish people would understand.
Hey, Brett, you better tell the board. Don't tell the Board of Trustees that based on the contract they just gave NATO.
that's right. Now, they got an older building, but people ought to realize what that replaced. I mean, that's the Taj Mahal. Right.
Yeah.
That's the Taj Mahal compared to that. And you just went through that roster of coaches, Coach Newton, Coach Sanderson, David Hobbs was great assistant. Mark Godfrey played there, had won at Murray State. They tried Avery Johnson. They tried Anthony Grant. They've hit on Nate Oates, haven't they?
No, they most certainly have, because, you know, this day and age, it's just like football to a certain degree. It's all about excitement. It's all about trying to get these kids excited about coming to the program. And, you know, it's interesting because talking about Nate Oates' contract extension, when you look at it, a lot of people said, you know, why wouldn't Nate Oates kind of hold Alabama hostage and say, look, I'm not going to sign an extension. You know, I'm going to float the idea of going back to Michigan and taking over the Wolverine basketball program if you guys don't give me what I want, which is a new basketball arena. They were supposed to put shovels in the ground a couple of years ago. It was approved, but because kind of the financial malaise that our country has been in and inflation being what it is, it just wasn't, you know, fiscally responsible for Alabama to move forward with a new basketball arena at this time. But Nate Oates had a good attitude. Nate Oates said, you know what? It's very important that we have the practice facility and that we have a new arena down the road. But he also understands in this day and age of college basketball, how long are these kids actually going to be on campus to be in that arena?
Yeah.
I mean, those kids don't care about the flashy new Jumbotrons or the premium seating or the mezzanine level with lodge boxes and all that kind of stuff. All they care about, Brett, is how much money they're going to get with their NIL every month.
Right.
And if it's going to take away from what that stipend could potentially be, they'll play in Coleman Coliseum until the cows come home. You know, that's not a very high priority when you look at the current state of college athletics.
Yeah. Well, Pat, we know one thing about this Alabama team. They have struggled defensively for a large portion of the season.
That's an understatement.
Well, trying to be nice here, Pat. But how do they go about slowing down this North Carolina team? KenPom, they're a top 10 offense. We know R.J. Davis and what he can do shooting the ball. How does Alabama slow down this North Carolina offense on Thursday?
Food poisoning.
That's it.
I mean, honestly, the recipe for Alabama's success, and I don't want to be all negative here, but it has been optional on their defense.
Yep.
But they're going to have to. We had Richard Hendricks on the show today. Brett, you would know who Richard is. Richard,
and he was great this year. He did a lot of games with Richard Cross. Richard loved working with him.
Yes, Richard was an outstanding player at the University of Alabama. Works for the SEC Network. He is just so bright and breaks it down for us. And he told us today on the show that Alabama, it's imperative that based on who you're going to face down low with Harrison Ingram and Baycott, what you're going to have to deal with, Alabama is going to have to shoot the ball at least 35% or better from behind the three-point arc. You know, they did that against the College of Charleston. They didn't do that against Grand Canyon. You saw what kind of battle that was against the Antelopes. Alabama is playing one of the best teams in college basketball this year. They're going to have to be on their game. They're going to have to be able to run the ball. They're going to have to be able to, like a football game, they're going to have to just get out and do what Alabama does, which is, again, they're one of the top offenses efficiently, according to KenPom. They're fourth in the nation, but North Carolina's not too shabby. They're 17th in that category. Tempo, Bama is one of the top in the country. But it's that defense that we keep going back, because defensive efficiency, UNC is sixth in the country according to KenPom. Alabama's 102. Mm-hmm. All year long, they just could not defend very well, gave up a lot of points. And if Bama can't get that three ball to go down, I'm afraid it could be a long night in Los Angeles on Thursday. And most of us hope that it's a good game and Alabama's, you know, got a shot there at the end. It's also one of note because one of Alabama's top players that went out early against Grand Canyon, Latrell Reitzel. He is now questionable for Thursday night. He leads the team in shooting three-pointers at 44%. He was out a couple games before the SEC tournament due to a concussion, and he fell back, hit his head again in the game against Grand Canyon. He went out with about 7 minutes to go in the first half, did not return. And last night, Nate Oates told our good friend Ryan Fowler, Brett, down in Tuscaloosa, that it is now doubtful that Latrell Reitzel is available for Thursday night. And that's big, because all of a sudden, one of your top dudes off the bench who shoots better than anybody from the outside, now you're going to have to rely on somebody else, and that kind of messes up that whole rotation.
Pat, this is a little nitpicky here. Are you more concerned with the percentage made threes or the number? Just give me 15 makes against North Carolina. I don't care what the percentage is, but
no,
we got to have makes.
No, you're right. No, 15 is the magic number. You know, it's crazy because the other night when against College of Charleston, when they hit over 10 three-pointers in a game, it was the first time since the Ole Miss game during the regular season that Alabama had eclipsed 10 made three-pointers in a game. That's typically what they do. When they hit 10 or, excuse me, the number is 8. If they hit 8 or fewer three-pointers in a game, Alabama is 4-6 on the season. The number is astronomical the other way when they hit in double figures from the three-point arc. So you're right, Brett. It's not so much the percentage. If you can make 15, you're going to be in really good chance to win that game towards the
end.
Hang
on for dear life, I think. I got a really snazzy name for the potential new arena whenever it gets built in Tuscaloosa. You want it?
Is it the Pachyderm Palace?
Nope. It's the Nick Saban Coliseum.
There you go. You know, Nick loves basketball.
He does, and the famous assistant coaching games, and Lane Kiffin said the smartest thing he ever did, immediately he knew, he goes, I'm not getting involved in that because I know who's got to win, and I'm not made to be that uncompetitive.
By the way, and you also knew who was going to be the referee calling all the fouls, and you never fouled the GOAT. So.
Never.
No.
Think every building built in Tuscaloosa County for the next 100 years should be named after Nick Saban.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if you read Chris Lowe's article that came out this morning about Nick and him going to pick up a prescription for the first time in his life and enjoying his retirement, it's pretty crazy. The fact that, you know, we're now, 3 months into it now, and we're getting stories about him going to the pharmacist to pick up some high blood pressure pills.
Walking in the bank. And, and he did, banking ads forever and had never been in one.
Oh, I know. It's amazing to be able to watch this transformation. Mm-hmm. Of course, once game day starts, he's going to be in that routine of every week being on set on a different campus or whatever the case may be. But just watching his potential involvement, because all indications are, guys, from the kids and the players that I talked to during spring practice right now in Tuscaloosa, not that they are happy that Nick Saban is gone, but it is a completely different vibe and attitude in Tuscaloosa.
Everything
changes. Mean that they're going to win. They're going to win the national championship. But I'm just telling you right now, the kids that have stayed, the kids that have come on board in that signing class, music is being played at practice. Media is getting an opportunity to watch practice.
Right.
You've got assistant coaches doing interviews on the radio. It's unbelievable what is going on down there. It's just a completely turnabout of fair play in regards to what's going on with this coaching staff and what we as members of the media and fans are being able to get access to now.
Pat, I'm serious when I say this, and we're real close on time. Bryant's giving me the signal. You remember when Lee Corso, back in the heyday of Corso, when he come to media days, Herschel Nissason was his right-hand man, the old AP guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pat, your family may not appreciate me volunteering you gone this long. I swear, between your connection with the Paul Feinbaum Show and your friendship with Paul, you ought to sign up to be Nick Saban's chief lieutenant on the road on game day and helping him prepare. He would be way ahead having somebody like you that knows this league and this sport. I know he knows it, but you know it from a media vantage point. That's my editorial.
I appreciate that. I'm very humbled that you would put me in that potential spot. But now that would be a lot of fun to be able to walk the concourses with the greatest of all
time. Just
to
hang with him.
To talk SEC football. It would be unbelievable.
It would be.
That would be
great.
Good
job, Pat.
Good time. Pat, as always, thanks so much, and we'll do it again soon.
Hey, thanks, fellas. Hey, one other thing quickly. I've been pushing for Shohei Ohtani, Brett, to get suspended for the next the first four games of the season. So
I'm all for it.
And the
return trip to St. Louis.
Yes, if at all possible, if that could be handled by the commissioner's office, I'd greatly appreciate it.
You got it.
I'm with it. Thanks, Pat.
See you guys.
Pat Smith from Jocks, he joins us to talk all things Bama and right now. A lot of everything going on in Alabama with the basketball team success, spring football going up, and Nick Saban trying to figure out how to live a normal life after football. But let's go ahead and get to a break. The Grizzlies, they were in action last night in Denver against the Nuggets. When we come back, we'll talk about what happened last night in their game tomorrow night against the Lakers. That's next on Sports Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, the Grizzlies were in Denver last night to take on the defending champs. It was a lopsided loss, 128-103. I don't think many people expected much different. But, there were some bright spots last night. A good third quarter for the Grizzlies out of halftime. That's been an issue at times this season. They go out, score 32 points in that quarter. You had a handful of players, I think four of the starting five finished in double figures. You had Lamar Stevens, who's been fun to watch, when healthy, getting 19 points off the bench. So there were some bright spots, but, you know, again, when you're going up against the defending champs, the team that is, you know, still leading the Western Conference standings, and you're as beat up as the Grizzlies are, I don't think you expect much different of what we saw last night.
No, they were big underdogs, and it was for a reason, mm-hmm. and no surprise there. I'm watching the game last night. Mm-hmm. I thought a couple things. First of all, our announced crew to be bringing it like they're bringing it. If you listened to that last night, mm-hmm. you would not know it was this kind of year.
No.
That's the measure of a crew.
It sure is.
To keep it interesting, to stay engaged, and that's all of those mm-hmm. guys, I mean, reason to be. They're going to go strong through that tape, through 82 games. It was just great. Brevin Knight made the point last night. Full-on Grizzlies killer through the years has been Reggie Jackson.
It has.
Whatever team, yeah. wherever he is, I mean, just quietly throws together a 15, mm-hmm. 8, and a couple of a rebound. And that pickup last year by them, that has helped that team.
Sure.
You never know where that addition is going to come from.
Yeah.
You know night in, night out what you're getting out of Jokic and even Caldwell Pope and mm-hmm. others, but to get certified Grizzlies killer Reggie Jackson to do that to you.
Yeah, and I love Reggie Jackson. He had a big game last night, but you're right, a huge pickup for Denver last year and has certainly helped them. But yeah, I mean, you don't expect much. Jokic goes out there and, you know, an easy 29 and 11 on kind of, you know, just an easy night at the office.
It was ho-hum for
it. It really was. I mean, he just was, whatever he wanted, didn't even really look like he was out there breaking a sweat. But the Grizzlies, they'll be back in action tomorrow night against the Lakers. 7 o'clock, we could see the return of Brandon Clark in that game.
It feels like we're going to get LeBron since he's taken, they're punting on tonight's game mm-hmm. in Milwaukee. They can't not let that game not go to the left-hand column tomorrow night.
No.
I think we get him.
I think we do, too.
I hope so, for the people that want to see him.
I do. I hope we get him, and that's always fun when LeBron is playing here at the Forum. So I hope we get him. I think we'll get him. I hope we see Brandon Clark tomorrow. You know, if he's going to return with only a handful of games left, I think, you know, get him in there, get some games. You know, I don't know if you let him go through the entire end of the regular season or if you get a couple games in and then maybe the last three or four games you shut him down, but it would be nice to see him out there after really, you know, a long off season and missing most of this season. It'd be fun to see him out there for the Grizzlies this year. But let's go ahead and wrap up this hour, get to a break. When we come back, we're talking college football and a little bit of college basketball with Brent Beard.